Labas and good afternoon. This is Kęstutis Reividas, and once again, you're listening to Independent Lithuanian Radio on Saturday here at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial, and of course, on the World Wide Web at KTYM.com, live streaming audio. Of course, the big news out there is there's this wet stuff falling out of the sky, and it's not all that cold either. It's a tropical storm. And I don't know, do you get the feeling that the media just overplays everything, that everybody's going to die and float away and it's flooding everywhere? Yeah, you know, it's raining quite a bit, but, well, whatever, I won't belabor the point. It just doesn't seem to be quite as terrible as everyone made it out to be. Meanwhile, in Lithuania, spring-like conditions, nighttime temperatures in the low 30s, barely hitting freezing. As a matter of fact, the only freezing night in our forecast is tonight at 32. Tomorrow, Sunday, and the rest of the week, the lows will be about 35, 36, 37 degrees. So, again, spring-like conditions with highs in the mid-40s in Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. Now, back to the rain event here, okay? Rain event, we like that word. It makes us sound like professional news people, meteorologists. Kęstutis Reividas, meteorologist, says we were having a rain event, and the main event at St. Casimir's Parish Hall this weekend is Kazuko Muge, the St. Casimir's Fair, and that is brought to you by Lithuanian Scouting, the Boy and Girl Scouts of Lithuanian Scouting. Rain or shine, okay, Sunday. And by the way, if you look at the forecast, Sunday is supposed to be clearing skies with a less than 10% chance of rain. So it looks pretty good for being outside in clean, fresh, crisp air. But rain or shine, the scouts are going to work their tails off tomorrow, setting up and getting everything ready indoors. That's today, rather, indoors, because today, you know, there's pretty good rainfall. But it'll be ready to be moved outside, weather permitting, and it looks like weather will be permitting. So there's no cancellations. Don't listen to any rumors. Get in your car Sunday. It's going to be a beautiful, partly cloudy day with an occasional shower somewhere off in the foothills. The place to be is St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, indoors and outdoors. There will be food, libations, drink, games, fun for the kids, and you will be supporting Lithuanian Scouting. This is a big Lithuanian Scouting fundraising event every year on the first weekend of March, which, by the way, happens to be statistically the most likely weekend that it will rain. So think about that. This year, that's coming true. But anyway, this Sunday, okay, at St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, Kazuko Muge, the St. Casimir's Fair or Casimir's Fair. And by the way, in Lithuania, this is a real big deal. I mean, tens of thousands of people, if not 100,000 people, are in the streets because thousands of vendors from all over Lithuania and neighboring countries come to sell their wares in the downtown areas of the major cities and towns, especially a big fair occurs in Vilnius, the capital city. But if you don't want to make the drive to Vilnius from Šiauliai or from Kaunas or anything like that, they have the fair there too. But anyway, once again, rain or shine, Kazuko Muge, support Lithuanian Scouting, come enjoy some good food, and let your children play, and if they're not already members of Scouting, sign them up. It's a good time to do it. You can see how much fun they have, young and old alike. You know, there's six, seven-year-old Cub Scouts and Girl Scouts, and it goes all the way up to active scouting into their early 20s. So be there at the corner of Griffith Park Boulevard and St. George Streets. Griffith Park Boulevards and St. George Street, St. Casimir's Parish Grounds, Casimir's Fair, Kazuko Muge, tomorrow, Sunday, rain or shine. We'll be right back. By the way, today we're featuring music from a band of folk artists, folk rock artists, and people who are into the study of ethnic music, and they call themselves the compilation group. They call themselves Donis, D-O-N-I-S, and that was the title track there called Bitelingo. And they also translate it to English to say lingo bee, the lingo bee, you know, like honeybee. This is a lingo bee, which I have no idea what that is, but that's the name of the track, and I just love the music, Bitte Lingo. By the way, last week at St. Casimir's Parish Hall was the Lithuanian Mardi Gras, the Blynų Balius, very successful, a sellout crowd, and I've just been notified that there will be another Blynų Balius, if that's what you want to call it, Lithuanian Mardi Gras, in San Diego. The San Diego Lithuanian American community presents and invites one and all grown-ups and children to a Lithuanian version of Mardi Gras, and that's March 22nd, okay, in about a month, March 22nd, Saturday at 6 o'clock in the evening, in what's called the Hall of Nations in Balboa Park, okay? Balboa Park is famous. It's in the center of town. Easy to find. Look it up on the internet, Balboa Park Hall of Nations. Actually, it's 2191 Pan American Road, but it's the Hall of Nations in Balboa Park. And their advertising says there will be singing, there will be dancing, and there will be games, and there will be a contest for the most gorgeous mask. So wear a mask on March 22nd and head on down to Balboa Park, the Hall of Nations, and the Lithuanian American community will have their own Mardi Gras. There will be warm drinks, including wine. Pancakes will be prepared and served. However, there will be no hard liquor, but you may bring your own beer. $17 for adults, children under 18, free. They want you to sign up because they want an idea about how much food to prepare. So get in touch with Oshra at vabalas.com. Oshra, A-U-S-R-A, at Vabalas. Vabalas is bug, okay? V-A-B-A-L-A-S.com. One more time. For reservations, get in touch with Oshra at vabalas.com. That's A-U-S-R-A, at VABALAS.com. Oshra at VABALAS.com. Unfortunately, they did not include a phone number, so I can't help you there. But one more time, if you want to get in touch, Oshra at VABALAS.com. Now this is, I consider, the weird story of the week. It's a couple days old, okay? It's a couple days old. But Latvia's defense ministry says that Latvian residents have no reason for concern regarding Russia's decision to move its armed forces in western regions of the country into combat readiness. Defense Minister Raimonds Vejonis, advisor Andis Jakabons, told news services that there is no cause for concern as Latvia is a full-fledged NATO member and that the country's security is not in threat. Furthermore, every country, including Russia, is allowed to check the battle readiness of their armed forces, they said. News agency reports that Russian President Vladimir Putin on Wednesday ordered a snap checkup of the battle readiness of the armed forces in the west and center of the country, including the area bordering Ukraine. The commander-in-chief has set the task of checking the capacity or capability of the armed forces to deal with crisis situations posing a threat to the military security of the country, said Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu. The drill involves Army, Navy, and Air Force troops based in the Western Military District, a vast territory bordering the Baltic states and Finland. The previously unannounced move comes amid turmoil in Ukraine, and we all know how things are deteriorating over there. So what are we going to do about it? Well, obviously Lithuania is not going to send troops to defend Ukraine. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Lithuania has released an official statement informing that the developments in the Crimea region of Ukraine are being closely monitored in Lithuania. Quote, "We condemn the outbreak of violence in Crimea. We express our heartfelt condolences to the families of victims and all those who have suffered." The Ministry of Foreign Affairs highlights that any external interference in the political crisis in Ukraine is inadmissible. Of particular concern is the increase in military activity close to the Ukrainian border. We call the raised foreign flag over the seized local government buildings in Simferopol a provocation and call on Russia to distance itself from the separatist action in Crimea, as well as comply strictly with agreements between Ukraine and Russia. Delineating the legal status of the Russian military presence in Crimea, respecting the laws of Ukraine, we express our strong support for Ukraine's sovereignty, independence, and territorial integrity. We call on Ukraine's foreign partners to adhere to commitments undertaken in the 1975 Helsinki Final Act and the 94 Budapest Memorandum on Ukraine. Well, you know, anybody who pays attention to this stuff knows that these military maneuvers and actions, these snap decisions to, you know, check on the troops, it's exactly what happened before Russia invaded Georgia a few years ago. You know, this brings me to this absolutely, I don't even know how to explain it. It was a completely different time. You didn't have a 24-hour news cycle. People weren't sitting around in Lithuania, let alone most of the United States, sitting around watching television in the early 1940s, you know, watching the war live, okay? But there was a good group of people who believed that the West and that the United States even, okay, would come and help. For example, the Forest Brothers, the Partisan Movement, and free Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia from the tyranny of the Bolsheviks, the Communists, the Soviets. Now, can you imagine now that you have satellite television, you can watch Desperate Housewives, you can watch the American television shows, and all you want to be able to do is have, you know, the freedom to politically speak whatever you want to speak, but you know, most people, they just want to be able to go to the store and buy a television set and buy a radio and buy clothes and not be harassed and get a real job and be able to travel in and out. And they want that kind of democracy. And in the meantime, again, if you've been paying attention, our military, we're going to cut something like 100,000 soldiers. We're going to drop our military capacity by something like 100,000 men and women. Okay? So we're not going to do anything. It's all talk. It's crazy when you listen to this. It's all talk. Listen, Lithuania's foreign minister, Linas Linkevičius, said yesterday he will seek to put the crisis in Ukraine's Crimea region on the agenda of the United Nations Security Council, pledging to summon Russia's ambassador to Lithuania to explain. Do you think that Mr. Putin cares? In the minister's words, the developments in the pro-Russian region of Crimea look a lot like military aggression and occupation. No kidding. The mission has been instructed to take every opportunity of putting the Ukrainian security situation on the agenda of the UN Security Council, the Lithuanian minister told news services. Nevertheless, Linkevičius acknowledged that the idea will face difficulties as it will require approval of the UN Security Council members who have a veto right, including Russia. Lithuania holds the UN Security Council presidency in February. The Lithuanian diplomacy chief also said Russia's ambassador in Vilnius will be summoned to the ministry on Friday to explain about the crisis in Crimea. So let's imagine what happened yesterday. The Russian minister, the Russian ambassador, went to the minister's office and was asked by Linas Linkevičius, what the heck are you doing? Well, I don't think that he had any good explanation. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not mocking this. You know, the things need to be said, they need to be publicly put out there. There needs to be world opinion and pressure on Russia not to do what it appears to be doing. Okay? However, the reality of the situation is, it's just talk. Lithuanian president sees action in Crimea as breach of sovereign country's territory. The developments in Crimea are a violation of a sovereign country's territory and causes presumptions for possible occupation, said Lithuania's president Dalia Grybauskaitė. The features are highly alarming, she said. They show certain preparations. I'm not saying occupation, but creation of presumptions for possible occupation of certain territories. And this is, in any case, deplorable. This signals certain desperation and violation of a sovereign country's territory, said Grybauskaitė on Friday. That's yesterday in Vilnius at a news conference. She went on to say that the international community needs to respond to the events in Crimea. And again, I say, how? The entire international community must respond to violations of territorial integrity of any sovereign country. This is mandatory for everyone. This cannot be tolerated. This violates Russia's international commitments, the Russian-Ukrainian agreements, and all conventions of the United Nations, concluded the Lithuanian president. Now, in case you've been living under a rock and you're not paying attention, you know, what's happening in the Crimea is apparently local paramilitary forces, or who knows, they could be Russians, at the very least they're sympathetic to Russia, have occupied government buildings and raised the Russian flag over Crimea, which was considered to be an autonomous region, okay? And it's right next to the Ukraine, and it's next to the part of the Ukraine which is sympathetic to Russia, all right? Here's a headline from BBC in Europe, okay? Now remember, England, it's right across the channel, okay? Western nations have called on Russia to ease tensions in Ukraine's Crimea region after armed men seized the local parliament and raised the Russian flag. Russia also scrambled fighter jets along the border as part of military exercises, it announced just a day earlier. What I was referring to when I talked about the Latvian defense minister. Moscow, and it's amazing that he justifies it, that they have the right to do this. It's just, why bother saying anything? I mean, he ought to just keep his mouth shut. But anyway, Moscow said it was willing to work with the West on averting a crisis, but warned foreign powers against taking decisions on behalf of Ukraine. Meanwhile, the ousted Ukrainian president is reported to be in Russia. Viktor Yanukovych plans to hold a new news conference in southern Russian city of Rostov-on-Don on Friday, and he's apparently already done that, and he said that he's still in charge. Earlier, in his first statement since being voted out of office by parliamentarians last week, Mr. Yanukovych said he had been, quote, compelled to ask the Russian Federation to ensure his personal security from the action of extremists and that he is still considering himself the legitimate president of the Ukraine. Now, in the meantime, the palace he lives in has been opened up to the public. Okay, it's been opened up to the public. They can walk through there and take pictures and see how he lived. You know, I don't know. But I have heard that he's got a pond in the backyard with a Spanish galleon in it. All right, it's crazy stuff. And they have portraits of the 73 dead Ukrainian pro-Ukrainian independence protesters. 73 portraits of them in the main hall of the former palace of the president. Now, also, unidentified armed men entered the Crimean parliament in the regional capital by force on Thursday and hoisted the Russian flag. They were cheered by a handful of pro-Russian demonstrators who gathered around the building despite a police cordon. "We've been waiting for this moment for 20 years, the protest leader said. "We want a united Russia." The men are believed to still be holding the building, although it is not clear if they have made demands or statement. They did put up a sign reading, "Crimea is Russia," and threw flash grenades in response to questions from a journalist. Wow, really democratic types, huh? Western leaders were quick to urge Moscow and Crimean activists not to escalate tensions further. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, I am no international political expert, okay? But every week I try to read the news, gather it, and give it on to those of you who bother to listen to independent Lithuanian radio. And I do appreciate you listening. But I'll tell you this much. I have always said, do not trust the Russians. Okay? And I'm not talking about individual Russian people who are, you know, fine people. They have, you know, wives and husbands and children and so on and so forth. But remember that Russia, the Soviets, the Bolsheviks, killed their own people. Okay? This is key. They killed, murdered, deported millions of their own people. That is why I don't trust them. And they are not going to give up the Ukraine to the West. The Ukraine has a historical tie to Moscow. Historical tie to Moscow for about 500 years. Okay? Maybe six, maybe four. Okay? Look it up. I don't know. But there is a very long historical tie, the Ukraine, to Russia. And remember, Russia starved the Ukrainians, killed millions of them. But they're not going to give up that territory. So this is going to get worse before it gets better. We'll be right back. Little more music from the Davos album. The woman was singing about how she will sing a lullaby to calm her baby, the child, the infant. I will sing you a lullaby. More news coming out of the Ukraine. Russians, you know, quote unquote, occupy Crimea airports, okay? Because all of this is unclear. Because journalists don't wander around over there as easily as over here. As a matter of fact, there's reports that a couple have been shot dead. Ukraine has accused Russia of carrying out an armed invasion by sending naval forces to occupy Sevastopol Airport in the Crimea region. Now, you know, Crimea was attached to the Ukraine. It used to be part of Russia, and it sort of got attached to the Ukraine, and Ukraine has its own elections and government and all that, even though ultimately it sided with the East, with Moscow. But, you know, there's a lot of background here. And this show doesn't have the time or the resources to give it all to you. But you should check it out. Okay? Russia's Black Sea Fleet denies its servicemen are blocking the airport. Another Crimean airport, Simferopol, has also been occupied by armed men thought to be pro-Russian militia. Relations between the two countries have been strained since Viktor Yanukovych was ousted as Ukrainian president last week. Remember, he ran away to Russia. Mr. Yanukovych is now in Russia and expected to hold a news conference later near the Ukrainian border. He disappeared after leaving office but resurfaced on Thursday, asserting he is still Ukraine's lawful president. We've told you all about that. In other developments, the BBC has seen 8 trucks with black plates of the Russian army moving towards Simferopol. Unconfirmed reports say 8 Russian military helicopters have also arrived there. Ukraine's central bank has put a 1,000 euro limit on daily cash withdrawals, so now people are starting to panic that they can't get their money. Armed Forces Chief Yuri Ilyin, appointed earlier this month by Mr. Yanukovych, is sacked, and Ukrainian's parliament has called on the UN Security Council to discuss the unfolding crisis in the Crimea. Okay, so, you know, why am I talking so much about the Ukraine on Independent Lithuanian Radio? Because, once again, Lithuania has been independent, okay, for literally weeks now, longer than it was between World War I and World War II. Remember, Lithuania didn't get its independence and recognized by the rest of the world until 1991. Okay? And before that, it was occupied by what was then known as the Soviet Union. And the Russians are pulling the same stunts again. Once again, I repeat, Putin, as long as Putin is in charge, they will not give up the Ukraine. And if they have to, they will occupy it, and not 73 people will be dead, but more like 7,000, or maybe 70,000. We just don't know. Okay, and before we close the program, we'll go back to the little news directly from Lithuania. In 2013, there were 10,700 job vacancies in Lithuania. Huh? No work in Lithuania? 10,700 job vacancies. As compared to 2012, the number of vacancies increased by 2.1%. The most significant increase in the number of job vacancies was registered in the financial and insurance sectors and in public management and defense, compulsory social insurance, healthcare, and social institutions. The most significant reduction of vacancies was registered in the trade sector. The biggest number of job vacancies were registered in the industrial sector, in the trade sector, in public management and defense, compulsory social insurance, healthcare, and social work institutions. Anyway, the bottom line is, the reason there are all these job vacancies is because people have figured out they can make more money in the West. And because of things like crisis in the Ukraine and dumb remarks by the Latvian defense minister, and this is just my opinion, okay? But any intelligentsia in Lithuania, anybody with any brains and any education, sees a dark cloud on the horizon, I think. And it's more than jobs now. It's more than jobs now. It is the bordering countries. Remember, Lithuania shares its longest common border with Belarus. And Belarus is united with Moscow. This is Kęstutis Reividas for Independent Lithuanian Radio here at KTYM 1460 on your AM dial. And, of course, live streaming audio over the internet at ktym.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, rain or shine, Kazuko Muge, Kazmers Fair at St. Kazmers, brought to you by Lithuanian Scouting. Come support them tomorrow.